because I'm very upset. I know people who's going for surgery, and it's like conveyor belt surgery, where they're pushed out through the doors before they're even ready to be, you know, to be seen, and it's wrong. People are not commodities, they're people. You should have no conveyor belt surgery. It should be for people to go. And I'm very sad when somebody's sent out of hospital, you ring for an ambulance afterwards, they've been to the hospital, they're hemorrhaging, and they're told, oh, go to see your doctor tomorrow. That is wrong. And I've known people, this is going, somebody's taken this to court, so I can't say the names, but it's wrong. People matter. Profit should not come before people's needs. And I feel sorry that you doctors are not even looking out for the people. Not anymore. Because I go to these services, you say go to St Mary's, you've got an hour's travelling journey. That's in an ambulance. Same with Chelsea and Westminster. When we've got a good hospital on our doorstep, which we could use. And I would not use transport if I was on my local hospital, because I can use my mobility scooter. But no, I have to use an ambulance to go to St Mary's if I go there, or I go to Chelsea and Westminster. And I don't get any better treatment, because our nurses are fantastic, and I've found every time I've been in hospital, I've been very well looked after, but they haven't got the facilities or the money put there, because it's just conveyor belt, get the person out, get the person out before they're even ready to leave hospital. It's wrong. Profit should not come before people, so to say.
Thank you very much for your comments. It's a lady called in the newspaper.
Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Sykes, Ms. Batten. A couple of things. One, I was sitting here and I'm listening to KXYN and DIVC and XYZW. It means absolutely nothing to me as a human being, because I'm not obviously somebody who works your side of the fence. I work on the other side. I see the pain, the suffering, I see the fear of the whole of the area. Hundreds of thousands of people are absolutely dead opposed to the closure of Charing Cross and the refiguration. And you now, you were puzzled why you've got these huge waiting lists, well, West Middlesex, Chelsea, Westminster, St Mary's, because you've closed down so many A&Es. Simple. Reopen the A&Es, you won't have this problem. The other thing is, a lot of you are accountants, and you know, you're sitting there with your figures. Well, I'm thinking, as I'm sitting here watching you, I'm thinking of those nurses that are on the hamster wheel, non-stop, worried about the patients and the parents and the mothers and fathers and the husbands and wives. And you talk about domestic violence, and I wonder how many of those staff go home and get hit and come back and do a day's work. But all I see is a group of very well-off people. Mr. Sykes, you want to do something for charity? Give your £300,000 you get for being on the board to this charity. I don't want paintings. I don't want pictures. I want action. Now, lastly, I don't hear anything about renal. We've had absolutely no discussion whatsoever. And I know there's a lot of changes going on. I know you're closing twilight shifts. And I know the very vulnerable, these little elderly people, mainly elderly, as you know, that are on dialysis machines, mostly will die on dialysis machines, they'll never have another transplant. They are people that I'm seeing at the age of 68 now being told, find your own way at 7 in the morning for your dialysis session. Now, as you know, anemia, very cold, very, very tired. It's actually quite cruel, because I'm picturing human beings. I'm picturing Nye Bevin, Mary Seacole, Florence Nightingale, and I'm thinking they'd be absolutely disgusted, actually, because you have all the computers, we have a vast amount of wealth, and we're actually treating our sick and ill like they are beggars. My last point is this: people want an answer. Nothing, no ball, plain answer. A bit like, am I ill or am I not? We get, now you're going to sell off Charing Cross, but you're not actually going to demolish it. You're going to decorate it, turn all the little wards into little flatlets, and there's a beautiful view, their quote, of the skyline. Is it being demolished or is it being sold to be renovated? Please, we all know you're going to demolish it. When are you going to demolish it? There is going to be no A&E, and quite frankly, we'd like plain, simple, honest answers.
Okay, thank you. Let's have some answers.
So perhaps if I could ask Steve to answer the question about renal dialysis and the twilight shifts, and then I'll talk about Charing Cross.
So we have no plans to change twilight shifts. We've extended, actually, our renal provision. We've changed significantly our renal provision here in terms of different ways of actually providing that. We know that the shifts here have extended sort of into the evening. And we, at the Charing Cross, we've still got our renal service there, and we're looking at how we can, in the future, provide our renal services also across at St Mary's. So I'm very happy to sort of pick up your specific sort of questions, but we're not reducing or changing our renal provision for people.
The distance, the travelling distance, is going to be horrendous if Charing Cross goes. It's 168 plus patients a week dependent.
6 minutes to Chelsea and Westminster.
They have closed twilight shift at Charing Cross. That is vital to that local area, and also to people that come in from the outskirts as well for their dialysis. As you know, they're satellites, so people have to travel for dialysis.
So I'm very happy to sort of pick that up with you outside of this and give you a specific answer about how we're maintaining all of our renal services and, in fact, looking to extend them.
So perhaps I could address the specific questions you raised about the tower block at Charing Cross and the A&E services at Charing Cross. In relation to the A&E services at Charing Cross, as you know and as I've said on many occasions now, the configuration of those A&E services is part of that overall national review. That national review is being undertaken by KEO, and I understand that that KEO report is due to report in the next few months. Now, that will help us understand the future shape of an A&E service, and an A&E service that will be there to support a local hospital. That's not a decision that Imperial can make by itself, because our A&E services need to conform to the A&E standards across the country, so that it's very clear what A&E services you get when you go to see a trauma hospital, when you go to see a general hospital, and when you go to see a local hospital. So those A&E services will be defined through that KEO review. The KEO review, as I understand, will be out within the next couple of months.
That's passing the buck, actually.
So, no, I'm absolutely not passing the buck. It's incredibly important that there are standards across all of the UK so that patients, when they go to a hospital, actually can understand what services they'll receive. So it's really important that there is one standard for an urgent care centre, one standard for a trauma centre, and one standard for an A&E for a local hospital. That standard needs to be set nationally. It's not just for A&E services that standards are set nationally. It's for all of our services that standards are set nationally. In relation to the tower block, I think the article you're referring to quotes Mark Spencer in the article, and it refers to us talking with developers about whether we might turn the tower block into apartments. I can categorically deny any discussions with any developers about turning our Charing Cross tower block into apartments with developers.
It's
we have
hospital.
Not had any discussions about that. In terms of the timing of Charing Cross, again, as I've said previously, we have submitted an outline business case. That outline business case is being looked at as part of the overall outline business cases within Northwest London by our CCGs. Their timing is to submit that overall outline business case, which they call an IMBC. This side
what does
of,
that mean?
This side, an implementation planning business case, this side of Christmas, to be considered by NHS England and the TDA post-Christmas in the first quarter of next year. If and when that outline business case is approved, the Trust then needs to do a final business case. That final business case takes about 12 months to develop, about another 6 months to approve from there. Then the overall capital planning program will take between 3 and 5 years. That means that on the ground, when may we start to see changes at the Charing Cross site, that would be around the 2020 timeframe. So we are talking many years in advance before we would start to see any significant changes to